This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show with Jason Hartman. You're about to learn a new slant on investing, some exciting techniques, and fresh new approaches to the world's most historically proven asset class that will enable you to create more wealth and freedom than you ever thought possible. Jason is a genuine self-made multimillionaire who's actually been there and done it. He's a successful investor, lender, developer, and entrepreneur who's owned properties in 11 states, had hundreds of tenants, and been involved in thousands of real estate transactions. This program will help you follow in Jason's footsteps on the road to your financial independence day. You really can do it. And now, here's your host, Jason Hartman, with the complete solution for real estate investors.
Thank you so much for joining me, and welcome listeners from around the world. This is your host, Jason Hartman, with episode number 737. Yes, just like the airplane, the 737. That's a pretty cool little plane. You know, sometimes they convert those into private jets. Can you imagine a whole 737 to yourself? You know, when you take all the seats out and those overhead bins, that's a really big plane for a private jet. Just something to think about. Maybe an aspirational goal for us as real estate investors after we make our fortunes with the most historically proven asset class in the entire world. Okay, so today we are going to profile three different markets all at once. And so you'll get a three market overview in this episode. And I do have to tell you that we actually recorded this episode with our guest today, our local market specialist, several months ago. And why, you ask, did we not air this sooner? Was it because we were too busy? Because we had too many other guests we had to get on first? Was it because Jason just cannot stop rambling on and on? You can't shut the guy up long enough to air the episode? No, although that's a possible reason, but it wasn't the reason this time. The local market specialist didn't have enough inventory. They had a couple of big buyers they were working with that were buying up all their inventory, and they just didn't have anything. So we didn't want to air this episode and then have a bunch of you become interested and then subsequently become disappointed and upset with us that we could not deliver the properties to you. So hopefully that will work out better this time, and you are going to hear about these three markets, and I think you'll really like what he has to say here in just a few minutes. But first, I wanted to see, and this is a little quiz for you, do you know what special day occurred last week? Do you know? No. Not my birthday, although I appreciate you thinking of me and thinking that was the special day that occurred last week. And thank you again for all the nice birthday wishes. I really appreciate it. No, it was the same week, though, and I guess this will be every week right around my birthday. It was World Smile Day. Yes, World Smile Day. You know, happy face. Now, what's interesting about this is, you know those little yellow and black smiley faces that we see everywhere? Well, did you ever know the story behind it? You're saying, Jason, you're already on a tangent, and it's so early in the episode. What does this have to do with real estate investing? Well, not much, but it won't take much time to just tell you this, and I think it might brighten your life a little bit. So that's why I wanted to tell you the story and share with you a quick little poem that was in my Spanish class in 10th grade in high school. That was Mr. Lauder, my Spanish teacher. I remember him well. Okay, so World Smile Day is celebrated on the first Friday in the month of October every year, and the idea of World Smile Day was coined and initiated by Harvey Ball, a commercial artist from Worcester, Massachusetts. Harvey Ball is known to have created the smiley face way back before my time, thankfully, in 1963, the world's first Smile Day was held in 1999 and has been held annually ever since. After Harvey died in 2001, the Harvey Ball Smile Foundation was created to honor his name and memory. The slogan of the Smile Foundation is "Improving the World, One Smile at a Time." The foundation continues as the official sponsor of World Smile Day each year, and the message of World Smile Day as of 2010, was "Do an act of kindness, one smile at a time." And why am I telling you this? Well, you know, if you've been to my events, if you've met me, and many of you have, I know, I'm not exactly a smiley person. You know, I think I could actually work on this. I think smiling a little more would be good for me, and I think it would be good for all of us. And you know, this is that old thing that Earl Nightingale, one of my very early mentors, used to talk about. He said, "We are the reflection of our environment, but our environment is also a reflection of us. It's a two-way thing. So when we smile, that is going to make us happier. And when we want to be happier, all we need to do is smile." You know, Tony Robbins talks a lot about this. He talks about how you can change your entire attitude by just changing your physiology and your thoughts. And that's really what smiling does. You know, if you want to feel better, just look in the mirror in the morning like a goofy person, all by yourself, hopefully, because if your significant other is around, they might think you're a little nutty, but just smile. Smile in the mirror, smile in the shower, force yourself to do it, because it is a circular thing, yes? And it's like saying, that old saying, you know, well, this is not the saying. I kind of modified it myself, and I turned it into a question. But the Harvard psychologist of old, William James, said something like, "We are happy because we sing, and we sing because we are happy." And I turned that into a question. I said, "Are you happy because you sing, or do you sing because you're happy?" And, you know, both are true, right? And the same is true with smiling. So if you want to become happier, force yourself to smile, and you will become happier, because it's a psychosomatic thing where the body manifests what the mind harbors, and the mind harbors what the body manifests. So you can do it in either direction. That's what I'm trying to get you to see, is that it works in both directions, right? So this beautiful little poem I remember on the podium in my Spanish class in 10th grade, and I always used to read it, you know, when I would go into Spanish class, and thankfully it was in English because I couldn't have read it in Spanish, I'm sure. But I was not that great of a student in terms of Spanish, and you know what? A lot of people say, you know, I've talked to you many times about how I'm a big traveler. I've been to 80 countries now. Fiji was my 80th, and I'll probably hit 81 soon. I'm not sure what the next country will be, but 81 won't be too far away. And people always say, well, Jason, you know, do you go and learn the languages when you go? And I say, no way, I don't learn the languages. And I know to some that may sound like, well, you ugly imperialist American, you. You just think everyone should speak English to you. Especially the French people would say that, right? Yes, those French people would definitely say that. And in fact, if you've been to France, you may have experienced this. If you do not speak French, even if they speak English, they will not speak English to you. Rather haughty of them, yes. They're kind of known for that. But anyway, no offense, French listeners. I have to offend everybody equally on the show, so we never got our dig at you, so, you know, there you go. Okay, anyway, we love you, you know, great fashion and food and culture and all that stuff. Okay, but where was I going with that thing? Oh yeah, no, I don't bother learning the languages because I would rather spend that time learning about the history and the economy. Those are the things that interest me much more than learning the languages. And you know, if you speak English, Of course, this is the most widely spoken language in the world, with a possible exception of Mandarin Chinese, but a lot of those Mandarin speakers also speak English, thankfully. It's the language, the international language of aviation. Every pilot on the planet has to speak English, and it's the language of the maritime world as well. So every captain at sea must speak English. How handy! What an advantage we all have if English was our native language or even our second language. I mean, that just makes life a lot easier, doesn't it? Because when you travel abroad, you can spend your time learning about the history and the economy of a country rather than learning the language. Now, I know some of you may be interested in languages, and good for you. You know, it's just not my thing. That was my Spanish class story. Boy, that was a tangent. Okay, back on track here. I will read you this. We will go to our guest, and you'll learn about these markets. So here it is, this inspiring, wonderful little poem. And the author is unknown, by the way. It's not the guy who invented World Smile Day, okay? This was probably long before that. I think it actually was long before World Smile Day. Okay, a smile costs nothing but gives much. It enriches those who receive without making poorer those who give. It takes but a moment, but the memory of it sometimes lasts forever. None is so rich or mighty that he can get along without it, and none is so poor that he cannot be made rich by it. A smile creates happiness in the home, fosters goodwill in business, and is the countersign of friendship. It brings rest to the weary, cheer to the discouraged, sunshine to the sad, and is nature's best antidote for trouble. Yet it cannot be bought, begged, borrowed, or stolen, for it is something that has no value to anyone until it is given away. Isn't that interesting? Something that has no value until it is given away. Just my commentary there. Okay, some people are too tired to give you a smile. Give them one of yours, as none needs a smile so much as he who has no more to give. Isn't that a great little poem? Just remember, a smile costs nothing but gives much and enriches those who receive without making poorer those who give. Fantastic little poem. Okay, go to jasonhartman.com, check out the properties there, check out the educational products at hartmaneducation.com, and I have some big news for you, by the way. We are launching tomorrow. It's now Sunday as I am recording, but tomorrow is Monday when this episode will be published. We are launching a brand new, built from the ground up, jasonhartman.com website. I know many of you are thinking, it's about time. You know, we were hanging out with that old website because I just thought it made us look more established. No, actually, our old website that we've had for, what, a good 5 years now, that's in the website world, that's kind of old. You know, that site is so reliable. It just doesn't break much. And websites, they break. They need maintenance, just like a car. That's why I wasn't super motivated to update it. But just so you know, there will be a brand new website tomorrow. Probably by the time you hear this, there will be bugs and little problems and little issues with it. I am sure we are expecting those things. So if you see any of them, please feel free to report them to us. If you see any of them and experience them on our website at jasonhartman.com, please also be patient. We always want to do this stuff on Monday so that our web development team will be around the entire week to deal with little problems and bugs. So check out the new website, but if there are a few bugs, please be patient. We'll get them fixed, and feel free to report them to us as well. So jasonhartman.com for properties and other resources, and then, of course, hartmaneducation.com for some great educational products. Let's bring our guest on board today and talk about these three different markets and get a market overview. Hey, today I want to talk to you a little bit about market selection. And we've covered this topic ad nauseum over the years. And there are many reasons to select certain markets, many reasons to unselect other markets. Of course, we've talked about the linear, cyclical, and hybrid markets as a macro concept. But I want to drill down into market selection and also in this same talk with our guest today, offer some market profiles on three Alabama markets. And those would be Birmingham, which of course we've done business in Birmingham for quite a while now, but also Montgomery and Huntsville as well. So let's go ahead and dive in. And Jared is here to tell us about that. What are your thoughts on market selection?
Jason, that's a really good question. What it really gets down to is you've got to be able to find the markets that you're not going to face heavy competition. Right now, in many of the primary markets across the country, you're competing with Colony Financial. You're competing with a lot of these major hedge funds. They have $30 billion. And if they want to buy the properties, they have to expend the money. And they're going to beat you out of the property every time. And so it's very important to get into a market, maybe a secondary market or a tertiary market that still has a strong economy. There needs to be jobs. There needs to be a decent population base. They need to make sure that you're not losing population, but that it's at least steady. There's a lot of things that go into that, both macroeconomic and microeconomic decisions.
No question about it. And we've seen, we've watched the institutional investors come in and out of these markets and literally change the economies of real estate in those markets and just massively influence prices. So that is definitely an issue. As you've looked at different markets around the country and you've helped people select markets over the years, tell us, maybe specifically, let's talk about these three different Alabama cities. What maybe we'll say instead of a tale of two cities, it'll be a tale of three cities. So what makes those markets desirable for investors?
Well, I think when you talk about a tale of three cities, I think the first quote that comes to mind is when they say it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. And I think that by being able to choose these markets, we've really been able to get the best of times. The first thing you have to do is overcome the stigma of Alabama. Everybody thinks of Forrest Gump or Sweet Home Alabama, and they forget that Alabama is now the second largest auto manufacturing state in the country. When the Rust Belt states like Michigan started losing jobs in the auto industry, Alabama, which is a right-to-work state, started picking those jobs up. And so you've got different demographics for each of the three cities, and we can spend a little bit of time on each of them. But the first thing is overcoming the stigma and realizing
that. One comment I want to make on that. First of all, I don't think Alabama has a stigma. Okay. So, I don't think a lot of our listeners do either. We've done lots of business there and it's been pretty good. Nothing's without its problems, but no need to apologize for Alabama. And the other thing is, isn't it interesting? As a general economic concept, when the government gets the hell out of the way and these unions get the hell out of the way, the economy grows. The idea that you should be forced to join a union to get a job is literally insane. That's completely opposed to any ideal of America, in my opinion. So,
you're exactly right. And that's really driven the economy up. If you look at Mobile just got the Airbus plant that brought like 20,000 jobs, to the Mobile area. Huntsville just got a brand new Remington Arms plant. Polaris just opened up an ATV plant. And so the population's growing. There's all kinds of brand new four-story and six-story office buildings that have popped up in the last 10 years in Madison. You've got Redstone Arsenal, which manufactures most of the rockets in the country. It's a huge military installation. I don't know if most people realize this, but when you look at Huntsville, Alabama, it has a median income of like $72,000 a year, I think.
That's much higher than the national average.
Yeah, no. By far. I mean, it's only $4,000 or $5,000 less than San Francisco, and yet the median home cost is way below the average median home cost in 2015 in Huntsville, Alabama, is $170,000 compared to a national average of $222,000. So you've got affordable housing, you've got high incomes, the affordability ratios are outstanding, and did you know? Of course, you know this, but Huntsville, Alabama actually is the highest per capita in the country of scientists and PhDs.
Yeah, it's a real wonky engineering place. So that's good. We need those people. We need more of those people with real education. They didn't go to school to get these worthless degrees. Yeah, no question. Okay, well, let's drill down on each of these three markets, if you will. Do you want to take them individually? I think you have to. And you mentioned some dynamic things about that. I don't know if you mentioned anything about Birmingham in that segment, but just take us through who the target tenant is, who the employers are, why you selected these markets to provide properties in.
All right, I'll finish up Huntsville, and then we'll move to Birmingham, as you suggested. So from a population standpoint, Huntsville has about 180,000 population. It's got a positive population growth. The future job growth is 31%. Unemployment is quite low. It's below the national average by about a point. Vacancy rates are pretty solid. So when I look at Huntsville, you know, there's a good bit of property inventory available too. There's inventory supply is down 21% this year over last year. So we know that we're about to start seeing appreciation because supply is down by 21%. And yet demand is up by 17%. Sales have increased by 17%. So we know that we're coming towards the bottom of an absorption cycle, and we're seeing the appreciation trends are starting to be positive again. Instead of losing value, over the last year, Huntsville's gone up 4%. Over the last quarter, 2.7%. And so that's really, really good. Our foreclosure price properties, according to RealtyTrack, are 57% below the non-distressed sales. So there's particularly equity. So when we pick them up and we get them totally renovated, it allows us to pass on some of that savings to your clients, Jason. So that's one thing that we like. Just some really, really good positives there. The affordability ratio is 1.05. And if you took the median income and divided it into the median foreclosure cost, that gives you kind of a barometer to compare it against other markets. So Huntsville's at 1.05. Los Angeles, for perspective, is at 5.7.
So that I think you just said the median foreclosure cost. Did you say that? What did you mean to say that, or did I just hear that wrong?
No. I said that. So if I took if I divide the median foreclosure price that we're buying foreclosures at,
right,
and you divide the median home cost, the median income into that, it just gives me a barometer to say I'm almost 600% more likely to cash flow in Huntsville than I would be in Los Angeles.
Right. Well, Los Angeles is terrible.
You know, exactly.
And that's my hometown. I grew up in Los Angeles, but wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole for investment. Okay. Yeah. Go on.
So that just kind of gives you something to compare by. So a lot of the houses that we're getting in Huntsville, they're going to be people who are in the service industry that are servicing the high-tech jobs. So usually when you're talking about cash flowing rentals, we're talking about 1960s and 1970s brick ranches with hardwood floors. Our average rehab on our last 100 homes was $17,000 in total rehab. And so we're redoing the systems. If the condensing unit is 15 years old, we just replace it, even if it's working. If the roof looks like it has 5 years left on it, we're not going to wait the 5 years. We'll just put a new roof on it. And part of the reason for that is, like I said earlier, we get a 30% discount on Home Depot because we have a nationally managed account. I can get a roof that somebody else might be able to do for $5,000. I can get it done for $3,500. And so it's a lot cheaper for us to go ahead and renovate it now to the highest possible standards. And the reason that's important is a lot of people will do lipstick on a pig and they make the place look great cosmetically. But if you don't address the systems, the furnaces, the condensing units, the roofs, then what ends up happening 4 or 5 years down the road, your cash flow that you were counting on for retirement or to build your wealth is going back into the property and deferred maintenance. And so we realized that it's a whole lot better to head that off, because I'd much rather do $10,000 in higher rehab and only end up putting an extra $2,500 down payment than I would to have my roof go out in 3 years and my furnace go out in five.
Yeah. So we've always dreamed of the idea where you could standardize rehabs nationwide in all of our different markets. Someone else in the business tried to do it and it just didn't work. So tell us about what you do in a rehab. Are you replacing the furnace? I mean, we have some local market specialists who just replace things. They don't, you know, if it's a year old, they just pull it out and put a new one in. You know, it's just like simpler to do that than to even think about it. What does your rehab include? And, you know, what is your philosophy on rehab? I mean, we got a taste of it with what you just said, but tell us more.
We would rather over rehab, because our feeling is that you're going to get the highest quality tenants if the property looks so much better than any of the other competing rentals. we can often get $50, $75, even $100 more than the market rents of our competitors. And when if the rental market ever contracts because people are getting approved for loans again, our houses are the first ones that somebody will rent. And then, so there's lower vacancy, they fill more quickly. And so we would rather over rehab a property. That means that you're going to have new carpet, new lighting, you know, new doorknobs, new hinges, the things that you would expect cosmetically. But it also means that we're going to go through and pressure test the lines. If we have galvanized pipe, we're going to go ahead and replace it with PVC and replumb the house. If the roof looks like it has 3 to 5 years left, it's not leaking, we just say, let's put a new roof on it anyway. And so it's generally, you know, $20,000 on a rehab can typically cover pretty much anything that's needed. And then what's nice is we give a full rehab scope and say, this is exactly what was done to the house. And if we didn't replace something, we're going to say, you know what, this particular system looked fine, tested fine, here's the inspection report, and we can put a home warranty on it, on the house, and say, you know, if you want it replaced, we can replace it, but we think that everything's good, but here's the one or two items that we didn't do, so you know exactly what you're dealing with, so that maybe if 7 or 10 years down the road you might have a problem, you know whether that was replaced or not.
Yeah. Okay. What kind of warranty do you offer?
So all of our, if we touched it and if it was on the rehab scope, right now we have a 6-month warranty on anything parts and labor that was done. And, you know, we have 9 rehab crews that work for us full time. And we also own the property management company. We have a national franchise and we own the property management company. And we like that because it gives us a vested interest in making sure that your investors are successful, because we know that they'll continue to buy properties if they're hitting the returns that they expected to hit. And so it's our job as a property management company to keep maintenance low, to make sure that the property is performing well and the tenants are well screened, because ultimately, if property management doesn't perform, then the asset's not performing, getting the return that your investor expects. And so that's important.
That's one of the things I love about my business. It is very addictive. You know, Starbucks benefits from that. Yeah, every morning, people need coffee, you know. And once they see this work with the investment properties, they just become addicted and they just keep buying. So that's one of the things, from a selfish point of view, I absolutely love about my business. You know, it's great. Yeah, so that's critically important. And the whole thing really just after the acquisition, of course, lives and dies on property management. So that's an area I definitely wanted to talk about. You already touched on it there. But without getting too far afield, I just want to make sure we cover these three different markets themselves. And we can circle back to rehab and property management, because those are excellent things to discuss. And we went off on a bit of a tangent there. But going back to the markets themselves, where did we leave off there?
Let's go to Birmingham. So Birmingham has about 1.2 million people. The University of Alabama, Birmingham, is the largest employer. It's a major medical hub, major medical school. They are the number one producer of steel pipe in the country. Regions Bank, which is a Fortune 500 company, is headquartered there. There's large insurance interests. It's got 4 Fortune 500 companies headquartered there. In an international airport, but great city. We do really well. We really like being in the suburbs. Sometimes when you get into the urban core, the crime is a little bit higher. But if you get out into the suburbs, there's some really, really nice neighborhoods where you can get very high returns on 1960s and 70s homes that rent out very well. It's a quarter of the state's population lives in the Birmingham metro. So there's high demand there in Birmingham. There's a big Mercedes plant. There's a lot of industry there, and it's a very viable city.
Yeah. Okay, good. And what's your target property? How much does it cost for our end buyer, our client, the investor? What are they on average paying for a property in Birmingham, and what are they typically renting that property for?
So the target property in Birmingham will depend a little bit on the strategy. If we're looking at like a C-plus property, and we don't like to buy properties below C-plus, a C-plus neighborhood would be one where you'll easily be able to rent. You could potentially lease purchase quite well or sell to another investor as an exit strategy. But they aren't going to be in the very best schools. They're going to be working class neighborhoods. And these homes will be 3-bedroom, 2-bath, usually brick ranches or split levels, built in the 1960s to 70s in a good suburb of Birmingham. And they'll rent for about $900 to $950 a month. And the acquisition price for your client is going to generally be in the $70,000 to $75,000 range. Then if we move into a B-class neighborhood, B to B-plus.
By the way, that's really good what you just said. Those numbers are good. Do those have garages?
You know, a lot of times in the South, garages aren't as important because we don't get inclement weather, but a lot of times they'll have a carport if they're older properties, and many of them have a one-car garage. And occasionally we'll luck out and get a two-car garage as well at that price.
Yeah. In some ways, you know, it's kind of odd. I just purchased a couple more properties in Memphis myself. I was talking with my local market specialist there and kind of weighing that garage thing. I mean, I've waited on every property purchase I've made over the years. But, you know, he said something that was really, that it really did make sense. It's got a double carport, this property, one of the properties I bought. And I said, well, you know, wouldn't it be better if in this price range I got a garage? And then I started thinking myself, you know, it's two more things to maintain, a garage door and a garage door opener, right? Two more things to break. And he said, what happens when we have garage properties is people just fill them up with stuff and they park in the driveway anyway. So in a way, they almost prefer carports because they don't fill it up with anything and their car is covered. You know, so it's kind of like almost counterintuitive. You sort of had to think about that one for just a moment, but yeah.
The other shocker too, Jason, is you'd be surprised, at least in the Huntsville market, we get a ton of enclosed garages. They'll put the air conditioning into it and you know, it'll rent as a four-bedroom.
Oh, they'll make it heated and cooled. So yeah, they'll just convert it into a bedroom, probably illegally, but you know, yeah, lots of people do
it's
it.
It's funny. You see a lot of that when you're competing. So that's kind of what you're looking at in the Birmingham. And then we also have A-quality properties where you might pick up 10 or 15,000 equity. And those are going to be in really good areas that will appreciate in the very better in the best schools. And those properties are going to be more in the 100 to 150,000 range. And they'll cash flow a little bit less, but you have more equity and more appreciation. So it's A, B, and C, and we do a little bit of all three of those.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Do you want to move to the next market?
Yeah, that's fine. Let's go to Montgomery. So Montgomery, Alabama is the capital of the state, so you have a lot of legislative jobs. There's a lot of attorneys there, a lot of state government employee jobs. It's got a really beautiful renovated downtown on a river walk like San Antonio, and with a cool riverboat out there, and they do a lot of concerts and things. That's a really cool setting. And they've got a Hyundai plant that produces 300,000 cars a year. They've got two Air Force bases, Maxwell and Gunter Air Force Base. So you get a lot of military personnel and military support jobs. And so that kind of drives the economy there a lot. We love Montgomery. It's very stable. I can get a house in Montgomery for, you know, maybe it might be about the same price as what I would pay in Huntsville. The difference is it may be 400 or 500 square feet bigger. It's a little bit bigger lot and a little bit nicer street sometimes for about the same price. And we can buy houses there that are brick with almost always have fenced yards, usually a carport. And your clients are going to be in them for $75,000 and they'll rent for $900 a month. So,
and what class are those properties? Do you call those C plus or those Bs?
Those would be C plus, and we're almost always doing 3-2. We'll sometimes pick up a few 3-1.5s, but for the most part, 3-2 and 4-2, they just rent better. The demand is a lot higher, and we feel like the tenants stay a lot longer if you're in a 3-2 with a bonus or a 4-2. Then the tenants may stay for 4 or 5 years instead of 1 year, and it cuts down on your turn costs quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, good. And do you recommend doing 2-year leases on the properties? I mean, you're in the property management business too, so I kind of like that idea, and we've been toying with, you know, seeing our clients do it and not do it, and I think it cuts down on the turns.
Yeah. We try to tie them up as long as we can. If I can get a tenant to sign a 5-year lease, we're happy to do a 5-year lease. The only thing to remember...
Well, I'd want to structure rent increases into anything that long.
Yeah,
of course,
we do. Yeah. We do an annual increase increment in the lease.
Like what's your typical increase that you recommend?
You know, typically what we'll do is we'll go for like a 10% increase. And if they don't bat an eye at that, then we'll go for 10%.
10% per year? Are you kidding me?
We've been able to get that sometimes. What we'll do is we'll do some improvements to the property at the end of a year and say, okay, when we increase, and it partially also depends on what we're getting. So if we're renting it a little bit below market rent because it's December, then it's a lot easier to get 10%. If we're getting it at the top of the market, we might do a 5% increase. And so it kind of depends on when we're doing it. But if we can get them to go a little higher, we'll go a little higher. And because we've renovated them to such a high standard, people don't mind paying a little bit more. And we also like...
I gotta tell you, though, I have not seen a 10% increase in any form of consistent. That's really high. That's very aggressive. If you can get it, more power to you. But that blows my mind. I just gotta point that out.
I don't know that we're getting it all the time, but sometimes we'll shoot for it. And we might trigger that for the second year or the third year. I don't know that we're getting it every year. But if they haven't had an increase for the first year, then it's a little bit easier to get it increased.
Right. Okay. All right. Go ahead with what you're saying.
Anyway, so again, a lot of it has to do with how high that you're getting. Like when we first opened up some of the markets, some of the leasing agents we'd have, they said, well, you can get 775 for this house, and that's what the market does. And then we would go and lease the house for $900 a month because it was just so nice. We always get professional photos that have a wide angle lens and have a light attached to the camera, so it makes the rooms brighter and bigger. That makes a big difference in the number of leads you get.
Oh, it makes a huge difference. And I always recommend to every investor, you should have a file on your computer and keep pictures of all your properties, because you know you'll want to use those in the future. That's part of your library.
Helps for proving things with taxes. It helps with when the tenants move out, if they damage a property, you've got proof to get to collect on damages. The other thing we like,
but also helps marketing the property the next time.
Oh, right? It really does.
And if you change property managers, if you decide to self-manage, I mean, I know this is directly opposed to your interest, but you know, I'm out for my listeners. So, you know, that's just something you got to remember, that you want those pictures. Okay. So always keep those.
We're in the management business, so we can protect our clients. If they want to manage the property themselves, we don't have any problem with that. And one of the things that we think is important too is making sure that the tenant has renter's insurance. We've had two properties out of the hundreds we've done in the last 2 years. We've had two properties. One burned all the way to the ground, and it was a 1985 house in great shape. And the other one, the lady was frying okra and decided to go take a nap while she was frying okra. She burned up the whole kitchen. And because we had renter's insurance, our owners, insurance policy rates did not go up because the tenant had a renter's policy.
Yeah, their policy covered it. Yeah. I mean, I definitely, I would absolutely recommend that. Yeah, of course. Okay, good. Are you ready to switch over to the next one, or do you think we adequately covered Huntsville already?
Yeah, we covered Huntsville. We covered Birmingham and then Montgomery, same thing. So Montgomery's a little bit slower growth. But it's a solid market, and you can buy really nice properties that are just really are nice looking properties. And, so that's just three great markets. And, it's only Huntsville is an hour and a half north of Birmingham, and Montgomery is an hour and a half south of Birmingham. So if you're flying in to check on your properties once a year, it's not too big a deal because you can fly into Birmingham, go an hour and a half south, and then, you're an hour and a half north. And a lot of our clients will fly into Nashville, check out the country music scene, go catch some concerts, and then come an hour and a half south from Nashville to Huntsville. And then they'll go Huntsville to Birmingham and then Birmingham to Montgomery. And there's some nice Civil War things, as well as a lot of civil rights monuments and museums that are fun to catch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, good. I'm going to ask you the question that many listeners are thinking right now, just as we wrap up. If you could only pick one of those markets, which is your favorite? And that may well be impossible to answer. People ask me that stuff all the time.
I think it depends on what your long-term hold objective is and when your exit strategy is. So Huntsville is going to be the market that if you're going on a shorter term, 3 to 5 year hold, it may appreciate a little bit more because it's getting more population growth. And it has a little more sex appeal, I think, because of NASA being there, the Marshall Flight Center, the Huntsville Space and Rocket Center. It's nestled in the mountains. There's caves and big rivers and stuff. So Huntsville, I think if you're trying to sell to other investors out of state who are just buying for income, it's a no-brainer because it's really a very high-tech city with high-income jobs. So crime is one-third the national average. I love Huntsville. Birmingham, on the other hand, is the economic engine of Alabama. So, it's the bigger population. People have more in-migration to Birmingham. So it's really stable and strong for other reasons.
Yeah, fantastic. Good stuff. Well, hey, thank you for sharing these three market profiles with us. We covered three of them pretty quick. I think you were very concise. Listeners, if you are interested in any of these three markets or any of our other markets around the country, just go to jasonhartman.com and one of our investment counselors can help you and give you some area agnostic nationwide advice on where to invest, depending on your risk tolerance, your time horizon, and your investment goals. And we'd be happy to help you with that. Any thoughts in closing on any of these markets or just anything I forgot to ask you, anything we didn't mention that you want the listeners to hear?
Well, I think that one thing that's important is understand where the market's going. These secondary and tertiary markets in Alabama, they aren't recovering quite as fast as the primary markets did. And that's one of the biggest advantages is that, you know, a lot of markets across the country right now are kind of peaked out and they're actually higher priced than they were before the crash. In these three markets, they're still well below they were where they were before the market crashed. They're rapidly recovering, and so you still get to participate in the ride up in these markets while the cash flow is some of the very best in the country. So that's really important to understand those metrics.
Yeah, and even if there is no ride up, just from cash flow alone, look at your yield. I mean, they're phenomenal. You know, it's like even if the appreciation never occurs, you're in pretty darn good shape as an investor with these yields. So overall, you're probably looking at well above the 25, 30% all-in yield. Go to jasonhartman.com, click on properties to see more about that and understand how income property is a multidimensional asset class and those returns are calculated. I've got a great video on that on the front of the jasonhartman.com website on the front page that you can watch in 27 minutes. You can completely understand everything there is to be a good evaluator of real estate deals. That'll be a great overview for you. Thank you so much for joining us. I agree. You've got some excellent choices here and happy investing, everybody. Appreciate the time. Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes. Be sure to check out the show's specific website and our general website, hartmanmedia.com, for appropriate disclaimers and terms of service. Remember that guests' opinions are their own, and if you require specific legal or tax advice or advice in any other specialized area, please consult an appropriate professional. And we also very much appreciate you reviewing the show. Please go to iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever platform you're using and write a review for the show. We would very much appreciate that. And be sure to make it official and subscribe so you do not miss any episodes. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.